Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings, and I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. I'm excited about today's guest, and today's guest is Derek Smith. Derek Smith is a husband, father, nonprofit director, fledgling social entrepreneur, and Jesus lover ordained pastor. Derek currently serves as both chief executive officer at Phone Fuel and executive director at SC Test Prep. He is a former AP calculus teacher at Dorman High School in Spartanburg, South Carolina, former pastoral intern at Morningside Baptist Church, and former pastor of Kaleidoscope Multi-Ethnic Fellowship. Derek Smith, welcome to the Career Callings radio program, sir. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Robbie. How are you?
Man, I am just living the dream. Not sure if it's a nightmare or not, but I'm living the dream. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I understand. The nightmare part, especially.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, I'm so grateful that you're taking time out of your day to be able to be with me on the Career Callings radio program. And I did just take a minute or two to kind of introduce you a little bit to the audience, but why don't you expound on that a little bit? Tell us a little bit about your personal life, your family, and things of that nature. I spoke pretty much to your vocational life, but talk about the personal side for a minute.
Yeah, I'm married to Megan, my wife of almost 11 years. We have 4 sons, Moses, Solomon, Jonah, and Abraham. So we went for it with those.
I hear you.
We just got a hamster. We're calling him Hammy. And we live on the west side of Spartanburg in the city limits and love our home. And we attend the Summit Church, which meets at the Chapman Center downtown. And trying to run both of these businesses and follow Jesus. Not in that order. Strike that and reverse it.
I hear you. That's all good. That's all good. Well, tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now vocationally to feed your family, and then tell us a little bit about how God brought you to this point vocationally in your life.
Yeah, so what pays my bills is I'm founder and executive director of SC Test Prep, which is a college readiness nonprofit located in Spartanburg. In short, I help kids with the SAT and ACT, as well as college counseling. What brought us here is undoubtedly the hand of God. We moved back to Spartanburg after seminary to plant an intentionally multi-ethnic Southern Baptist church called Kaleidoscope Multi-Ethnic Fellowship in Spartanburg. And within about 3 months, it became clear that it probably wasn't going to be able to pay my bills in order to run it the way that I intended to run it. And so, short version, I went back to teaching math at Dorman High School in January of 2010. Well, in April, I was informed that I would be laid off in May. And I knew that God had me at Dorman, and I knew that this layoff could end up being good. I didn't know how. So that summer I was scrounging, started an SAT business, and then Dorman hired me back at 2/3 of full time to teach AP calculus, which actually was my dream public school teaching job. And I mean, it was a miracle in my life. So SAT prep started then, with the blessing of a friend from the East Side, and 3 years later, I left teaching math at Dorman to start SC Test Prep with my wife, and been doing that now almost 4 years.
That's awesome. Well, as you travel that journey and gotten from those times that you just described to where you are now, no doubt there's been some ups and there's been some downs, and kind of want to start the conversation out with asking a little bit about your what you might classify as your worst career failure. Can you kind of tell us what that was like and maybe what kind of lessons you learned from the Lord through that time?
Yeah, so I sort of hate the fact that this is the story, but the church that I helped plant and pastored for about 6 years is no more. So that feels like my worst career failure. It feels especially like hurtful in my heart because I knew that this church needed to exist. We knew what it needed to be, I think, but frankly, I was not equipped to make it. I didn't know how to make it be that. And that feels and tastes like failure to this day, although, frankly, the failure of that church is what's brought me to where I am now, which doesn't feel like failure at all. And so I want to make sure the listeners hear that failures in this life are just that. They're in this life, and God will use them to put you back onto his path for your life if you're off of that, and he'll use it to yank you into the path that he wants you into, even if you are trying to follow him. It's interesting now to look back and think through all the things that we have been through and see why it needed to happen, mm-hmm. personally and professionally.
Now, if you don't mind me asking, you mentioned that you didn't feel like you were properly equipped to make it what you thought it was supposed to be. Do you mind sharing specifically what you mean by that as far as what it was?
Well, so I'm a math teacher by training. I'm a pastor by calling, and I'm an entrepreneur by accident. That's kind of my elevator speech. But I never meant to be this guy, but the short version is I think that there's basically three things that have to be done to see something through professionally or in an institution or organization. One is vision, two is strategic plan of action, and three is accomplishing that strategic plan. I'm a visionary, like at heart. I have good and big ideas that I think are often led by the Spirit. And I'm good at accomplishing things that I know need to be done. I'm terrible at making a strategic plan to get from the vision stage to the accomplishment stage. And so there was a great vision, the vision that is God's vision of redeeming all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues to himself. And the fact is that you don't have to leave the United States to be a missionary to cross international cultural boundaries with the gospel. And so we knew the vision, and I'm good at getting things done. I just didn't really know how to get it done. I didn't know what to get done, I guess is how I should say it.
So maybe some of the things that, if I can say it this way, do you feel like you were like buried in the minutiae and not focusing on the things that mattered most to building that kind of vision? Is that what you're saying?
You know, I felt like a right-hand man. I felt like Barnabas in the role of a Paul, honest to goodness.
Okay.
I felt like a right-hand man who was at the front because no one else would be. Mm. And I've done that a few times in things that I've started where I see a need, I have a vision, and I think like, well, if no one else is going to do it, by gosh, I'm going to try. And so that's sort of what happened. I mean, practically speaking, it actually made me feel a lot like my teacher training. You know, you go, I got a master's in teaching secondary math, and you learn all about the cognitive psychology. You learn all about classroom management. You learn all of your content and everything else, but you don't actually learn how to stand in front of a group of 30 teenagers and, you know, wield their attention, motivate them, inspire confidence, and teach them mathematics in a meaningful way. Like, that doesn't usually come across in your degree. The same thing's true in seminary. I learned how to exegete texts. I learned how to translate Greek and Hebrew, but I did not learn how to manage a church. And I don't, that's not a, to say anything poor against my seminary. It's just, it's, I did not know what I was getting into managerially, and that showed very quickly.
Mm-hmm. But you know, you said something during that story that really stood out to me. Even though you're classifying this as perhaps your worst career failure, you did mention the lessons that the Lord has taught you through that, and that it kind of puts you in a position for, I guess, maybe where you are now, which I would say maybe is your biggest career success. So can you kind of tell us how that bad experience with the church, and I say bad, everything's a good experience in service to the Lord, that learning experience, can you tell us how that learning experience has led you to a place of success right now? What would you define as your biggest career success?
Excuse me. Yeah, I mean, I did not know it at the time, but I now sort of... This sounds weird. Maybe the business people listening will understand, but so much of business and church life honestly boils back down to the notion of sales. So evangelism, if you will, is not for sale. We're not selling Jesus, obviously, but it is. There's a relationship that you bring to a point of a decision making. Fundraising for a nonprofit that I direct now, that is sales. Essentially, you're selling a feeling good about yourself and your own philanthropy, as well as helping others in selling services or products, which I'm also the CEO of Phone Fuel, which is a portable cell phone charger business that it sounds as crazy as it is, but there's a lot of success happening in that now. And it's what you think of as true, pure sales. So I'm saying all that to say, like, pastoring a church that did not end up succeeding, quote unquote, in the Lord's, in the world's eyes, it molded me personally and spiritually, and it just helped make me more into who I am now, which is a starter. I now know weaknesses in my management. I use others better, I think, and where I'm weak. I'm willing to ask for help, and all of these things have made me better at what I do. And frankly, I think planting a church made me a better entrepreneur in business. And now being an entrepreneur in business is making me better for whatever God has next in terms of ministry, whether that's in a lay position or in a, pastoral role in the future.
I hear you. Well, I tell you what, if you're listening to this program right now, I want you to gather from Derek's conversation here this very important truth. Don't let fear of doing something for the Lord freeze you into inaction. Because all the good stuff that Derek just mentioned in his about Phone Fuel, about the success of SC Test Prep, all of that, making him a better person, was born out of him trying to strive to do what he thought was the Lord's will for his life in building a Kaleidoscope Church. And it was the Lord's will for his life. And we got to be willing to step out on faith like Derek did and enjoy the successes, but also face the things that don't go like we hope. Because through everything, as Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. So when it comes to our vocational lives, if you feel like the Lord's leading you in a direction, take a step. Let Him direct your steps. Let Him use those experiences to build your character for His glory and for His use as He uses you through your vocation to reach other people. So yeah, definitely take that. Take a brave step when the Lord tells you to do so.
I'll amen that, Robbie. Well, and I'll say, don't be afraid to start, and don't be afraid to finish either. But when you're ready to finish something, do it well, quit well. You know, and if you are about to walk out of a career or a service in ministry, do it the way that it ought to be done. You know, don't do it in secret. Don't leave things behind. I can say that. Definitely, we left Kaleidoscope. Well, it was in tears because I did not really want to, but I did feel called to leave. And frankly, my leaving is the only way I think that God could allow it to die, which is what it needed to do. So don't be afraid to start, and don't be afraid to finish either.
Amen. Amen to that. Now, speak a little bit more to phone fuel. We've only mentioned it in passing, and I, of course, mentioned it in my biography of you, and I'd like to know a little bit more about it. I'm sure the audience would, too. So speak to that for a minute or two before we move on to our next question.
Yeah, let me spell it for your listeners. This is phone, F-O-N-E-F-U-E-L, phone fuel. It is what it sounds like. It's a portable cell phone charging device. The story goes that I was in Charleston with my brother-in-law, and we went downtown for dinner, and both of our cell phones died. And with three master's degrees between the two of us, we literally could not find our way back to our hotel. So without
it.
GPS, we were lost.
I'm with you, pal.
Literally. So we find our way back finally, you know, like the ancients used to do with a map.
Yeah, I used to know what a map was. I don't know what that is anymore.
And I went to bed, and I woke up at about 2 o'clock, and my brother-in-law is on the computer saying, "I've got a great idea." And I'm saying, "Go to bed, man. What's the matter with you?" And the next morning we start talking about this, and he's like, "Man, we can import these things. We can logo them and distribute them from home. And, you know, let's try to make some passive income, quote unquote, off of Amazon or something." And it was like, huh. So all the way home, we brainstormed names. It literally like came to me in a vision, the logo for this thing. And I called a buddy of mine, Sean Lytle, who is a graphic designer. And
I know Sean.
Good. He did not owe me a favor, but he did me a favor of drawing this graphic art for the logo and helping us design the outer packaging and stuff. And our first batch of these things came in December of 2014, right? 15. What year is it, Robbie?
I think it's 2020. Yeah, I know. 2017. It's kind of hard to believe. It's like, you know, you're getting old, man. You're getting very, very old.
I know. This was 2.5 years ago. So,
what are you like, 29 and a half?
Yeah, I just turned 37, man. I'm
such a babe.
I'm halfway home. So a neurologist friend of mine that I went to USC with bought some of these things for his nursing staff for Christmas that first year, and he loved it. He used it as his pen light. He's a gadget guy. He said, "This thing's great. It's better than any of the other ones I have." He started tweeting about it. Okay. And this guy's also a NASCAR fan. He's a good old boy from Lancaster. So, the next thing you know, a NASCAR team called him on the phone, inviting him to sponsor their NASCAR truck. And he called me freaking out saying, Hey, there's this NASCAR team just called me. This is so cool. Like, they want us to sponsor their truck. And I said, "Us? Who's us?" I said, "We don't have any money, man. Like, we just started this thing to try to sell some chargers on Amazon." And he said, "Well, I'll pay to put you on the NASCAR truck." And we were like, "Oh, okay." So essentially, he bought into some equity in the business. This relationship eventually put us into 850 grocery stores in the Southeast, and we're kind of just been plugging along ever since, learning about getting capital, learning about global logistics, and business plans, and everything that comes along with dive into business without really knowing anything about it.
You know, what you'd be surprised, most entrepreneurs are in that boat.
Yeah, well, the naivete is helpful when you actually don't know and you have to ask. As long as you're asking someone who's willing to tell you, you can always learn. So,
and naivete is great, because if most people knew what it really takes to make a successful business, most people would never start in the first place.
Yes, well, you know, when I started this other nonprofit, the guy who's kind of mentoring me through that, he told me, he said, "Working for a nonprofit is like sweeping water from a room." And I said, "You don't have to say anything else. Well, I absolutely understand what you mean. You never are finished. Just when you think you have your task walled off, it squirts around the edges."
Yep.
"And it's never over." And that has been true with this for-profit undertaking as well. So we're crossing the bridge, building the bridge as we cross it in a lot of ways. But, you know, it's a lot of fun because I'm doing it with believers. I'm doing it with family and friends. We get each other. We love each other. It's been a bonding experience. And, like, we just, this coming Friday, we will finally be debt-free on our balance sheet, which is a miracle. Anybody who's out there listening, like, you know how good that feels if you've gotten there. And if you're working to get there, keep working because it is worth it. And we're trying to get our ducks in a row to bring the manufacture of these things stateside. Regardless of where you stand on our new president, he's made it clear that he thinks we should buy American, hire American. Now, I'm following Jesus, and my loyalty is first to the kingdom, but I want to make these sons of guns here and hire Americans. I think that would be awesome.
Was there a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if so, how did he clear the smoke for you?
Yeah, you know, I was in college the summer between my junior and senior year when, you know, I surrendered is the word I use. I surrendered to God's call on my life. Now, I did not know what that meant. I presumed that it meant I would be a full-time pastor or a missionary, like as if those are the only two things that you can be for Jesus, you know? That's not true. That's not true. Attorneys listening, businessmen listening, you can be a lawyer or a basketball coach or a teacher for Jesus. Trust me, you can be just do what you're doing for his glory and with your whole heart in his name. And truly, you do not have to be behind a pulpit every Sunday to honor the Lord.
That is so true.
So I surrendered to this call, not really knowing what it meant. And I assumed, honestly, I wanted to quit. After 3 years of a pure math major at USC Honors College in Columbia, I wanted to quit my degree and go to Bible college is what I wanted to do. And my dad wisely counseled me, said, nah, why don't you knock out that math degree, Hoss, you know? And because who knows, he said, you may find that this is how God funds your ministry in the future. And I'll be if he was not absolutely correct, because during seminary, we bought and ran and then sold a math tutoring business that helped us finish seminary debt-free. And then we moved down here to start Kaleidoscope. And when we couldn't pay our bills, guess what I did? I taught math. And so that I didn't know what my call was. And it became clear that my call first was to seminary. Then my call was clearly to Kaleidoscope. And then my call to Dorman, back to Dorman, back to teaching at Dorman was very clear as well. And then SC Test Prep was probably actually a little more hastily done, but it made sense and felt right. And it has proven to be, I hope, a meaningful piece of the educational and economic community in Spartanburg.
Well, two things come to mind. First of all, I'm sure it was a hard day for you when you finally realized that your parents, and in this particular instance, your father, was smarter than you thought. I know that was tough. And that's tough for every child to come to that conclusion.
Honest to goodness, the only thing, I always knew that my parents were on my side. The only thing I ever did that was really against my dad's will was I bought a motorcycle when I was 21, I think. And he did not like that because he almost died on one when he was 18 or 19. And I've since met my wife, took her on a ride one time, and she said, nope. And I sold that sucker. So he's my hero, man. And it's funny because I wrote this down to say, but he's been in sales. He's been a bivocational music minister, part-time music minister at Glendale Baptist Church for 30 something years, I think. And that's where I grew up. And he's been in insurance sales with Farm Bureau Insurance for about that same, like 29 years now, I think. And so most of my life, I saw my dad serving in the church and being really good at selling stuff by being honest with people. And I learned it by watching him, but all of business is about relationships and trust. If you're honest with people and they need a service that you have or a product that you have, or I mean, business is easy if you tell the truth and you're in relationship with people and they trust you. And in what I was saying earlier about sales, kind of everything being about sales, the same thing's true about evangelism. Evangelism is easy. You're in a relationship with trust. And you have something that your unbelieving friends need, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. But you have to close the deal, you know? Talking about selling something and selling it are two different things. And so anybody who's in sales knows that your conversion rate is everything. So anyway, it took me 37 years to realize that, like, I am my dad. I'm in sales. I'm in ministry. I'm bivocational. I mean, it's adorable.
It is. It is good stuff. Well, I want to piggyback on the sales comment here, because I've been in sales ever since I've been out of college, and I want people to understand. There's really, most people when they hear sales, they think of someone being trained to manipulate and arm twist people into a decision that they're going to regret. That's what most people think of when they think of sales. But sales, I forget all the details of but I read a book years ago written by Bob Berg, and I think it's called The Go-Giver, he's written several books. But in that book, it talks about the origin of the word sales meant to give. It just means to give. So when you're really selling, you're giving something of value to people and inviting them to take it. And nowadays, people like to call that consultative selling. You're not twisting anybody's arm. You're not manipulating anything. You're sharing a message and inviting them to join you. We do that with Christ. We share the message of God, of the gospel, and invite people to join us. And that's their choice to do it or not. And a good salesperson in any industry is doing the same thing, And you're building trust, like you said, Derek. And that's the number one reason why people buy anything from a salesperson, is because they trust the salesperson. And if you're just sharing a message and inviting people, they will respond. Even if they say no, it's going to be a cordial no. It's not going to be a nasty no. And one last thing I want to draw from your conversation about your dad and about your being confused at times. You know, it just goes to show that none of us have all the pieces of the puzzle. None of us can see our lives from beginning to end, but the Lord can. And we need to take each and every step He shows us to take, or we think He's showing us to take, in faith, knowing that He's going to direct our steps. And if we somehow misread a step, He's going to correct it and make sure that through, if we have a sincere desire to glorify Him, He will direct us in the way that we'll do that the most. No doubt about it.
Amen.
Well, I know I've been blessed by this conversation, Derek, and I know there's plenty of people in my audience that have been blessed as well. So if someone wants to reach out to you and connect with you, how could they best do that to follow up with any questions they may have for you?
Yeah, you could visit either of our websites, SC as in South Carolina, testprep.com, or myphonefuel.com, phone with an F. But the easiest way to get a hold of me is honestly to text me at 864-384-1021.
That's great. And as always, I'll put that information on the careercallings.net website, where you can find that with today's show notes. Derek Smith, thanks so much for joining us on Career Callings today, man.
Thank you, Robbie.
And that's a wrap on today's edition of Career Callings. If you've been blessed by my conversation with Derek Smith, as I have been, then please go over to careercallings.net/radio, and you can go get a copy of today's broadcast via podcast. And on the podcast version of today's program, we'll have not only what you were able to hear on air today, but also a lot of extra content, a lot of bonus content we were not able to talk about on air. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless. Opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources. Discipline, mental toughness, physical conditioning, personal responsibility, work ethic, and a great way to pay for college. What am I talking about? The Olympic sport of fencing. Fencing builds all these character traits, and the Knights of Siena coaches who train tomorrow's champions today can help your child or grandchild develop these traits. To learn more, go to knightsofsiena.com. That's Knights of Siena, KnightsofSiena.com. And mention Career Callings to get your first month free.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
My interest has piqued, so I want to ask you one more thing about phone fuel, then we'll go back to some other of my more normal questions. So is this basically just a good phone charger that you have branded differently, or is there something unique about this charger that's different from all the other ones on the market?
Yes, that is the question. What is our unique value proposition, right?
Bingo. Yeah, exactly.
The short answer is we landed ourselves in the greenhouse business incubator at the George Business School in downtown Spartanburg. And at our initial meeting, pitch meeting, we said, you know, we're a product company, da 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 da. And somebody raised their hand and said, you're not a product company. We said, wait, why not? We're selling products. They said, you don't have any intellectual property. You don't have any patents on these devices, do you? And we said, well, no. They said, well, you're a marketing company. And we thought, huh, yeah, we are. So to answer your question, we're slapping a logo on it and reselling it. And so our value add is the marketing through NASCAR and other places, but we have a registered trademark, and the reason that these are better than other ones that you buy, the crummy ones that you might buy at the store, is because we vetted 22 different chargers at first from like 7 or 8 different factories, and we picked the one that we like best. It has a flashlight built in, and it'll actually charge your phone to 100%, depending on your phone, of course. Now, a lot has happened in 2 years in cell phone market, and since then we've got 2 other versions. One is a solar, it can be charged by the sun, it has a solar panel on it, and the other one that we call the diesel has 3 USB outputs, so conceivably you could charge like 2 cell phones and an iPad all at the same time. And this thing is a brick. It's 13,000 milliamp hours, if that means anything to anybody. Most cell phones are around 2,000 milliamp hours. And so this diesel is, it's beastly. It'll charge my phone four times over without needing a recharge.
Wow, that's good stuff. And in a world where we cannot survive without charged cell phones, that's a great thing to have, isn't it, man?
It's true. And I, you know, our vision from the beginning has been to bring our manufacturing here, because what I've learned is that as soon as you become made in the USA, both the federal and state departments of commerce will help you sell your products around the world, even with grants to international trade shows and things. And so we're just super encouraged at the help that's out there if we can get to manufacturing them here. So, and that would give us intellectual property and patents and things that we're working on now. So
that's exciting. God bless you for that. That's exciting. And now you have a chance to utilize this new venture for the Lord. So that kind of leads me into another one of my normal questions, and that's this. How are you using, of course, SC Test Prep now and also Phone Fuel as your ministry for Christ? How are you using it to impact others for Christ?
Right. Well, I'll say, you know, somewhere along the way as a public school teacher, I learned to get over the fear of saying the name of Jesus out loud. So in short, I talk about Jesus all the time to saved people and unsaved people and millionaire businessmen and homeless people on the street. Anybody and everybody. It's almost truly like it took me getting out of church work to get over the fear of talking about Jesus. It's a very strange fact in my heart. But the vision of the mission of Phone Fuel really is to give back to educational and service nonprofits. And we don't necessarily say it in public, but service nonprofits to us means missions. And so we are committed to giving at least 10% of the money that we make away to nonprofits like the one that I direct, but also to international and home missions.
That's awesome. Derek, what would you say is the number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
I'll say what it's not, and that is anxiety.
Okay.
What it is prayer. And I mean, that sounds maybe cheesy on the Christian radio talk channel, but you got to pray about stuff, guys, gals. You got to pray about your family. You got to pray about your own walk with Jesus. You obviously got to spend time with him and in his word. And that has never been easy for me, frankly. But the prayer has always come naturally, laying things before him, just being in his presence with no agenda. You know, there's a book called A Royal Waste of Time that is about just spending time with Jesus. And, you know, that is a turn of phrase, of course, but it really is. It's a waste of time in the presence of the King. And when you're there, you know that that's the only place you need to be. And, I mean, I preach a sermon over and over and from the Great Commission, basically. And it's the punchline is he has the power and you have his presence. You know, most people quote the Great Commission, but they don't quote what comes before it, which is when Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's the context in which he gives us a mission or a commission with him. He has all of the power. And at the end, it says he'll be with us always at the very end of the age. We have his presence promised to us. So if somebody with infinite authority and power tells you to do something and promises that they're going to come with you to do it, you cannot lose.
That's right.
So go to God in prayer about big decisions. Go to God in prayer about little decisions. And he'll meet you there every single time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's good stuff. How about your number one business habit? What would you say is your number one business habit, if it's different than your personal habit, that contributes to your career success?
Yeah, the word I wrote down right here is try. I mean, that is to say, like, if you're doing something new and different, a lot of people will not understand that, and they'll try to talk you out of doing it. But my advice is try it anyway. If somebody can talk you out of starting a business that you're thinking about starting, then you probably shouldn't do it. if someone can paint a picture of a different way to do that business that isn't the same as your vision for it, you probably shouldn't do it. But if those things are not happening, my business advice is give it a try.
That's good. That's good. I like that. I like that.
Let me say one other thing about that, which is know why you're doing what you're doing. We got some CEO coaching for Phone Fuel at the Greenhouse, and from the very beginning, they said, "Why are you in business? Why are you in business? Why are you selling phone chargers?" And we sort of shrug and say, "I don't know. Like, why is anybody in business? To make money, right?" And this guy who's the coach of CEOs all around the world, he says, "Nobody's in business to make money. Come on." And I'm like, "Dude, you're a millionaire. You can't say that. Come on, you know." But what I learned is that he's right. You have to know why you're doing it. You have to have a reason that isn't about money. A lot of businesses exist for their employees. A lot of businesses exist, for certain other purposes. Like I said, I mean, for Phone Fuel, we exist to give back to educational and service nonprofits. In short, we're selling convenience, philanthropy, and sustainability. The convenience of a portable cell phone charger, the philanthropy because a portion of every purchase will go to educational and service nonprofits, and the sustainability that comes with rechargeable batteries, but also with solar panels and other things that we're working on. So
that's good. That's good stuff. Now, how about a productivity tool? Do you have a productivity tool, either internet-based or non-internet-based, that you utilize to make yourself as effective and as efficient as possible?
I am terrible at that. Things that you should do. I read an article. I don't know what it was in. Maybe like the Wall Street Journal or somebody sent it to me. But I think it was about cornering. Maybe you've heard of this, Robbie. Like basically it said every day, clean your desk off. Like make the corners of your desk look right. And do the same thing in your email. Like if you get an email, respond to it or delete it, you know, like deal with it. Mm-hmm. And it talked about kind of cleaning up the edges of your business and physically doing that with your desk and other things. I'm literally the opposite of that. My nonprofit mentor says he doesn't trust a man with a clean desk.
Amen to that, brother. Amen.
So mine is a mess, but honestly, what keeps me in line in business is my iPhone calendar. I mean, that might sound rinky dink, but without it, I don't know what I'm doing. And with it, I know where to go next. That's about all I got.
That's good stuff though. I mean, I can't imagine what life would be like without the same thing. And I use the reminders on there, and I use the calendaring system itself, of course, for appointments. It's great. Now, just to give you some comfort, not long ago, I read a book called The One Thing by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. And it's a national bestseller. Gary Keller, you may know the name Keller Williams Realty. Gary Keller was the Keller behind Keller Williams. Very successful man. And the whole point of The One Thing book, which I would recommend everybody read, was about focus on the one thing that matters most. And then he's got a whole book on how to apply that to various components of your life. But in the book, he did mention you need to make peace with the fact that some things will get done and the rest of your life will be a cluttered mess. So I agree with your friend who said, I don't trust a man with a clean desk, because a man with a clean desk probably doesn't have enough to do. That
yes,
makes sense?
Preach. Yes, sir.
That may not be a fair statement. I'm not meaning to offend anybody, but bottom line is, you know, before I say anything else to get myself in trouble, I'll just stop right
Well, let me go back
right
to
there.
One thing that you said about, I guess you were talking about a business habit, or what we've used the word success a lot in our talk here. And I think that's an important note to your listeners, is for them to define what success means and looks like for them. I mean, I think in Sunday school, we would say success means, you know, following Jesus with your whole heart. It's like, yes, that's true. How do you do that in business? What does that look like in your business? What does it look like in your ministry? And is that enough for you? You know, mm-hmm, is successfully following Jesus in your business enough? Because you know as well as I, Robbie, that chasing money is sin. Can I just say it like that? You can chase money right into hell. Sure. But you can follow Jesus right into heaven. And I got news for everybody. Money is man-made. As far as I read scripture, two things existed before the fall. One is work and the other is relationships. And money in the world stands in place of work and relationships. And when a homeless person asks you for money, they're asking you for the wrong thing. What they need is work. And when you give them money, you're giving them the wrong thing, because what you need to be giving them is a relationship with you. I'm of the notion that everything that we have comes from God, except for our debt. We sign the dotted line for that. And scripture talks a lot about indentured servitude, and that's what debt is, in short. And, you know, in the Old Testament, they rebooted the debt system every 7 years. And they don't do that here.
I know. People, I wouldn't mind having a year of Jubilee.
I know, man. People need to know what success means for them, what it means for their business. They need to, I think, honestly, have tangible goals that are realistic, and, you know, and celebrate when you win, whatever that looks like for you. I mean, most people that I know aren't good at celebrating, and I'm one of the worst. We got the biggest check that I've ever held in my hands this week, and I put it in the bank. It's what's going to make us debt free. And I opened it and I kind of just said, huh. And I was looking at the stub and like there was a deduct for something and I don't know what it was for. And I thought, wow, well, they took 5%. Huh. And I found myself more disappointed in the 5% deduct than in the five figure check that I was holding, you know?
Aren't we all that way? Aren't we all that way? Well, I tell you what, just to kind of give one more thought to what you just said about people defining success for themselves, to root that, and I think you would agree with this, Derek, to root that, we need to remember that God's definition of success really boils down to two things. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And as long as you're doing both of those things in your vocation, as well as in your life outside of your vocation, then however God shapes that up for you is your success. We just need to understand that our success needs to be rooted in God's definition of success. And I think all of us, as we live our daily lives and our businesses, need to remember that. Because the world doesn't preach that. The world preaches, you know, you make up your own definition of success. And that's not, we Christians have a little bit firmer foundation than that. So that's good stuff. A lot of our business owners a lot of our listeners are business owners, or they want to be. So if you can give three quick tips to a startup business owner on how to be successful in business, what would those tips be?
The number one thing I would say is start your business. You're not a business owner until you start one. It's easier than you think through the Business One-Stop website in South Carolina, at least. It's cheaper than you think too. And with an EIN and a certificate of organization or articles of existence or whatever they call them through the Secretary of State, is it?
Yeah,
Mark Hammond in South Carolina. Anyway, yeah.
Yep.
It's easier than you think. And then you can go get a bank account, get a PO box, and like, man, you started a business. Number two, I would say it takes longer than you think. So if you think you can do it in a year, give yourself 2 years. Show yourself more grace in business, or as much grace as you would show someone else who's trying to start something new, and encourage yourself. You know, don't beat yourself up. Don't focus on the negative, you know, concentrate on the positive. And then number three would be, you know, most businesses are undercapitalized. So you got to have a good, like, fiscal plan for what you're going to do when your big bright idea doesn't succeed in the first year and it takes a whole nother year. How's that going to work? Those are sort of my three bits of advice. Start, takes longer than you think, be patient and gracious to yourself, and then have a very good capital plan, because it's not easy to get your hands on money that you shouldn't have your hands on.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, if you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go out into the real world?
That's a good question. And I'm in room with high school seniors every moment of every day almost. But you know what I tell kids anymore is, I'm in the business of college readiness, Robbie, but I tell kids and teachers, I don't want students to go to college. And everybody will always gasps like, what do you mean? I say, I want them to graduate from college. That's my number one bit of advice. Graduating from high school is almost a given anymore. But don't set your goal line at going to college. Set your goal line 4 or 5 years later at graduation. And, you know, bachelor's degree is not for everybody. There's 2-year degrees, but graduating, there's certificate programs that are 6 weeks or 12 weeks or 18 weeks. Graduating from them, finish strong, run the race, win the prize. Going to college, racking up a bunch of debt and not graduating is actually the worst plan of all for after high school. So don't do that.
I hear you.